People, I don't even have a nicer way to open this episode that is as honest as how I'm feeling. There's so many reasons I say it too. It's wild to me. But I have watched person after person hand their entire life over to a story about what was done to them. The bad childhood, the ex who screwed them over, the boss who held them back. Now it's the economy, it's the system, it's a specific race, it's the government, it's the algorithm. The thing that happened in 2019 that you're still talking about, like it happened yesterday, that's the shit I'm talking about. And I'm not saying like the shit didn't happen. Yeah, okay, stuff happens. Bad childhood is real. Join the club, right? You don't get a gold star for your suffering. Maybe your ex was a shithole. Maybe your boss is genuinely unfair. Like, I'm not minimizing any of that stuff. But what I'm saying at this is like some point, like the event is over. It's fucking over, but you keep the story going. You keep ruminating, you keep repeating it. Whatever happened to you happened once, handfuls of times. It happened in a season. But the retelling that you're doing is happening every single day. And every single day you retell it is the reason you can't build that thing. Your thing. Build on your potential. You can't leave the relationship. You can't start the podcast. You can't lose the weight. You can't have the hard conversations every single day that you're choosing the story, you are ignoring your responsibility. And it is that victim mentality. I'm seeing it everywhere, and like I'm fucking exhausted. I'm exhausted. Everybody's talking about race and sexuality and all this bullshit stuff. The internet's fighting over everything, and I'm watching people go crazy. Nobody gives a shit about any of that. Just take responsibility for your shit. You know, this martyr shit, this virtue signaling, this the victim mentality is everyone's just fucking exhausted. And that is like the same I keep seeing, like that's the thread that's tying all these crazies together. That's the thread. It's the victim mentality. Not the experience of being genuinely victimized, it's the decision to keep living there long enough after the actual danger has passed. So let's rip that shit apart today. And hopefully, by the end of this episode, you're either going to be pissed the fuck off at me if you're not already, or you're going to be free. And the truth is, sometimes that can be the exact same thing. P being pissed off at me can set you free. I don't know. Y'all, welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast. I'm Brandon Lynette. I'm the Voice Authority podcast coach. Your mess is your message, your potential is your purpose. Get the fuck over yourself and go build it. I feel like I owed you guys this episode for a very long time because I did this whole rebellion season. This is your welcome to season 11, motherfucker. That's it. Where I'm a different person than I was in season 10, and you're like, "What? That was only like a couple weeks, bitch." That's how fast we can change. That's the point of taking responsibility. That's the whole point of transformation. This has been sitting on me for a long time, and I kind of like. I find myself holding back even now, even when I know, like, here's the genuine truth. I don't give a fuck what people think about me. I don't. I own that power. I'm building my relationship with Christ, and genuinely, he knows my heart. I've asked him to search my soul. Genuinely, my priority is that one day when I'm standing in front of him, I'm gonna be proud to know that I chose him and that I chose life through him and that I made good choices in life. And I care more about what he's going to think of me than what I think of other people. But then I still get caught up because I forget the fact that people you trust, people you respect, people you love, they are going to make you feel some kind of way. And sometimes that some kind of way for me is that they make me feel like I have to be smaller, like I'm still too much. And I get blindsided because I genuinely like, you know, we've got mentors, we've got people, I've got people in my ear. I genuinely trust them. And then when God shows me who they are and I have a chance to just kind of meditate on the situation, I realize, like, holy shit, they didn't accept the full version of me. And so seeds planted have just kind of made me feel like, you know, I have to calm down because I'm making people uncomfortable. No, I'm awake now. That was a nice little dreamy sleep I felt for a second for a couple months. It's easy for me to not care what strangers think about me, and I think that progression, we'll call it progression, of learning to not let even people close to me make me feel some kind of way is, I think that's just coming into my awareness. So we're going to grow through that, and I'm sure you guys can see that through my shows now that I brought it to an awareness of, like, there are times when I hold back, but not today, bitch, because comfortable people do not change, okay? And the truth is, I love you too much to keep just being comfortable with you while your life is staying the fucking same. We made a deal with God when we chose the human experience. Y'all, we came here to feel all of it. The heartbreak, the pain, the beauty, the love, the potential inside of us. We knew it was coming, all of it. And the hard shit was part of the deal, which means the hard shit happening to you, it's not evidence that something went wrong. That's evidence that the deal is being honored. What you do with it after that part is actually up to you. Before we jump in today, y'all know I'm going to talk about my favorite Supa Patch. If you're watching the video, I'm holding up my favorite one. This is a household staple. This bad boy gets put on any of my kids who don't feel good, including my husband, who, y'all, if he has a cold, he's out of work for a couple days. He wore these for a couple days this year, when the girls got their little sickness. Never missed a day. Actually bounced back pretty good. So we're talking about defend. And I'm thinking of defend because taking radical responsibility for your life requires a body and a nervous system that is not constantly in survival mode. Defend supports your immune system. It supports your whole body's resilience, the physical capacity to stop defending the old story and start building the new one. All of these are drug-free, made in the US of motherfucking A. Okay? This is a big F you to Big Pharma. Jay is the creator, inventor, formulator, whatever you want to call him. He is a master, and someday I hope to be able to shake his hand. They say never meet your hero, but I don't think it's going to be disappointing to meet a man like that. Okay, this is viral tactile support, works directly through your nervous system. You guys, I always keep the show in the show notes. Yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about you separating two things that really have gotten fused together in your head, because the fusion probably is what's generally keeping you stuck, okay? We have the thing that happened, and it's a fact, right? It is also in the past. It cannot be changed. And it's not up for debate. Whatever it was, babe, okay, the loss, the betrayal, the abandonment, the failure, the diagnosis, the death, the financial collapse, the thing your parents did or didn't do. It really, really happened, and I know that. And I know that it was real and it fucking hurt. And some of it still probably hurts when you think about it. And that's coming from someone I still have a lot of hurts. The story you tell about it, okay, that's a different thing entirely. You can sit with the pain. You can be with the pain. You can acknowledge the pain. But the story is the meaning that you've assigned to this event, the conclusion you drew about what it says about you, about your future, about what's possible for your life. And this is what a lot of people don't realize. The story is, it can be edited, you guys. The event is not. You cannot go back and unmake what happened. You cannot do that, but you can absolutely go back and rewrite what you decide it means. And many people never separate these two things. They treat the story as if it's fixed and unchangeable, like the event. And they say things like, it's just who I am because of X, Y, and Z, because this happened. Or I'll never be able to trust again because of what he did. Or I'm not the kind of person who succeeds because of how I was raised. And they say it with the same certainty they would use to describe the sky being blue, as if the story is actually a fact rather than a choice that they made once in pain and have been defending it ever since. Do we need to clarify again? The event happened to you. The story is something you built. And now it's time for us to build a different fucking story. And there is a distinction that really matters, and I don't want anyone walking away from the episode thinking that I'm saying bad things did not happen to them or that they should not have feelings about it. Being a victim is a fact about something that happened to you. If you were abused, you were victimized. If you were betrayed, you were wronged. If your circumstances are genuinely unfair, they're unfair. That's not the question. I'm not here to gaslight anyone about their actual experience. Victim mentality is a posture you adopt going forward. It's the decision to keep interpreting your current life through the lens of what was done to you rather than through the lens of what you're capable of doing now. It's using the past event as the explanation for every present failure to act. It's the difference between I was hurt and I'm hurt from for forever, and there's nothing I could do about my life because of it. There's a difference in that. You could be a victim of something real and still refuse to live in the victim mentality. Those do not contradict each other. In fact, the people who heal the fastest and build the most extraordinary lives are usually ones who experience something genuinely brutal and made the decision early that the brutal shit was not going to get to write the rest of their story. You do not owe the event your entire future. It's that idea that I've tried to tell you guys before, like it's the bad guy wins. And I've been hurt in a lot of different ways by a lot of different people. I've had those experiences, the SAs, the, my mom signed her rights off. There's just a lot. There is a lot that I have been through. Those events were real. But if I stayed there, then the people who violated me in any way, physically, mentally, and emotionally, they win. They live rent-free in my head. Do you think they're thinking about me? No. They don't care. It's kind of the devil's sauce. This event happens to you and he wants you to just ruminate forever. Like, let it own your life. Let the bad guy win. You do not owe whatever happened to you your entire future. You do not owe the person who hurt you a lifetime of staying small as some kind of evidence of how much they damaged you. You really want to hurt people? Then those bricks that are thrown at you build a fucking wall. It isn't justice caving like that. That's you serving a sentence for a crime that someone else committed, creating your own prison. And there is stuff happening neurologically because once you understand, right, like that mechanism, you stop being so impressed by the excuse. I think nerding out about the brain has been something that really, really, really just has changed the trajectory of my life to realize I don't have to stay the same person. Neuroplasticity is real. When something painful happens, your brain encodes it with a very strong emotional charge. The amygdala, you guys know that's your threat detection center. It tags the memory as significant. Boom. This is not a flaw in your brain. This is your brain doing exactly what it's supposed to do. It wants to remember the thing that hurts you so it can protect you from something similar in the future. And that is survival wiring. And it's very ancient. And once upon a time, and even sometimes now, that's really good. The problem is what is happening next. Because every time you retell the story out loud to someone else or silently in your head, you are not just remembering the event, you're re-encoding it. You're strengthening the neural pathway. You're making it more automatic, more accessible, more likely to be the thing that fires the next time something even remotely similar happens. The brain does not distinguish well between rehearsing a memory and reliving the actual danger. Your nervous system responds to the retelling almost the same way it would respond to that original event. The cortisol releases, the stress response activates, your body experiences a version of the original threat every fucking time you tell the story again. This is why people who have been telling the same story about themselves for 10 years are not less affected by it. They are more affected by it. The neural pathway has been strengthened 1,000 times over through repetition. What started as a memory has become a groove so deep for the brain, it runs automatically. It doesn't need your permission. The second a related topic comes up, it launches. And the part that should make you furious in a way that I hope you find useful is that you have the power to do the same thing to a different story. That's neuroplasticity does not care which direction you point it. The brain that built the superhighway to the victim story can build an equally strong, badass pathway to the responsibility story, to the capable story, to the I am the one who decides what the fuck happens next kind of story. It requires that same mechanism, which is your all, it's our favorite word, which should also be on a t-shirt, repetition. Do the reps. I don't care if it's for your body, heart, mind, soul, spirit. Do the reps. Just point it somewhere else. Your nervous system isn't fucked up. It's doing exactly what you've trained it to do. But the good news is that training can change starting today with the next time you catch yourself about to tell the old story and you choose to tell a different one instead. If you guys picture a beautiful path through a field, the first time you walk it, the grass, it bends, but it springs back, right? The second time you walk, you start to see a little faint line. By the 10th time you walk this actual trail, there is a very visible path. By the 100th time, the trail is packed dirt. And it's deep enough that your feet find it automatically, even when you're not paying attention. You could be thinking about something else entirely, and your feet are still going to work that same path because the path has become the path of least resistance. Bitch, that's your brain with the victim story. You have walked it so many times that you don't even know how to think about it anymore. Something happens, like a setback or a disappointment or a hard conversation, and your feet are already moving down the old trail before your conscious mind even weighs in. That is just what happened to me. That's just who I am. That is just how my life goes. That was the hand I was dealt. All of those statements drive me crazy. This is what most people don't realize about that field, okay? The trail doesn't disappear if you stop using it, but a new one can be built right alongside of it. Every time you choose a different response, every time you say, this happened and I'm still capable, instead of this happened and that is why I cannot, you're walking a new line through the grass. And the first few times, absolutely, it's uncomfortable. Your body's going to want to step over to the path you've already made. The old trail's right there. It's warm, it's smooth, you know it. It's calling you back to the easier walk. But you keep choosing the new path, and eventually that new path becomes the worn one. And the old path, the victim path, it's finally starting to grow over because it's not being used anymore. So you're not removing the old trail by force. You're just building a better one through repetition until the better one becomes the automatic one. Start walking the new trail. Keep your ass off of the old trail. And I'm not going to pretend the culture around us is innocent in all of this because it's not, okay? There is real money and real power in keeping you focused on what was done to you instead of what you're capable of doing. The entire therapy industrial complex, and let's see, should I be careful here? Because real therapy, I feel like. Actually, someone said it on my show the other day. I guess it's like a rite of passage. It's a rite of passage. Also, it can be a very toxic trap. So, if it's a rite of passage and you found a gift in that, cool. But no, this watered down social media version of therapeutic language, it's turned half the population into people who can diagnose their trauma in a TikTok caption, but they can't take a single action to build a different life. So we have a lot of little therapists chirping on social media. They know the diagnosis, they know all the things. Every feeling gets a label. Every fucking choice gets a label. They want to label everything right now. I am a very anti-label person, okay? Like, this is fucking crazy. Every label. Every feeling gets a label. Every label gets that validation, right? That's what Pride Month is. It's a bunch of validation for a label. That became the finish line of another victim mentality of people who aren't just living their lives and need the whole world to accept them or pat them on the back. You guys, don't let validation become the finish line instead of the starting point. You're allowed to feel what you feel, and then you're required to do something about your life anyway. Both things can be true. The culture only wants to give you the first one. Our beautiful government and the institutions around us benefit enormously from a population that believes their circumstances are entirely the result of forces outside their control. A person who believes that they have no agency doesn't build shit. You don't start a business, they don't challenge the system, they don't become independent of the structures because they depend on them to the structure to take care of them. Helplessness is profitable for anyone who wants to keep you dependent. And I'm not telling you the systems are not real or that they don't stack the deck in certain ways. I'm telling you that even inside a stacked deck, you still get to decide whether you're playing your hand or folding before the cards are even dealt. And social media, my gosh, let's reward the victim narrative over and over because guess what? Those posts v generate engagement. Pain performs well. Outrage, wow. The story of what was done to you gets more comments and more shares than the boring, quiet work of actually building something different. So the algorithm keeps showing you content that's going to reinforce the identity of someone who has been wronged because the content that keeps you scrolling, it does not reward the content of someone who took the hard shit and turned it into fuel. Because that content requires you to actually do something rather than just relate and doom scroll. You find people that validate you, and you're going to be hot for that all fucking day long. My wish for you is that you never again need validation from another human being for the rest of your life. Stop trying to be validated, and that might kind of help your doom scroll. And yeah, there's a million things that have happened in my life this season where I've had plenty of seasons in my life where I could live as a victim. Things happened that were not my fault, things that genuinely hurt, things that could have become the explanation for every limitation I ever accepted for the rest of my life. I could have built an entire identity around what was done to me. People would have understood. People would have agreed it was justified. Nobody would have questioned it if I decided that season got to define everything that came after. And there's been plenty of moments where I could see where I had a chance and I had to make a decision. Not a decision about whether the pain was real. Of course, it's fucking real. But the decision is about whether the pain gets to keep deciding the shit for me going forward. My decision will always be it does not. The pain does not get to go forward. It doesn't get any more space in my future. And that doesn't mean the pain disappears. Stuff still hurts. I have feelings. I came here and I probably am more open to my feelings than a lot of people. I feel it. It doesn't disappear. And it doesn't mean that healing happens instantly. I'm still healing from shit I didn't even know was there. But I made one good decision on one specific day. It means that from this point forward, every time the old story tries to explain why I could not do something, I make myself ask a different question, not what happened to me. What has happened for me to launch myself? What am I going to do now? How can I use this? How can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? Asking those questions has changed my life. And my husband and I are the exact opposite, okay? He's the guy like the whole world is out to get him. And I watch the weight of that. It's fucking heavy. It's an inspiration for me to realize like everything that happens is it's either going to be a lesson for me, maybe I made a mistake, I need to reevaluate, or it's going to be a blessing. The car doesn't start, you're a little late for work. That's not the universe conspiring, okay? But I can say maybe that's God's hand in keeping you from getting hit when you're pulling out your driveway. I don't know the answers to all that. I just know every mistake I've made has been something that I can learn from because there is pain there. Every decision I've ever made is either going to bless me or hold me back. And the people in my life that have hurt me are just data. It's just the data. Those questions will change your life. And it's not because they're magic, it's because you have to ask them every single day until asking becomes that trail that my feet walk automatically instead of stepping on the old trail. When you start to feel like, holy shit, it's really coming down, you know? And it was, you guys, I was in the arena for like, I don't know, 2 weeks, a couple weeks ago, maybe it was like 2 weeks. I was in the arena for 2 weeks and I'm like, holy shit. Like stuff just keeps happening. What's the message? Like, what do I need to know? What do I need to work on? Are we leveling up here? Because God gets really quiet sometimes. And I'm like, this, you're working on me. Let's go. Let's get through it. Whatever needs to come. And then I have that attitude and I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'm not burning my life down. I'm not self-sabotaging. I'm not crying victim. That's all. I'm like, okay, what's the next right thing? You have this moment available to you right now. And the people that are like, oh, someday. Yeah, they die with that someday in their heart. Like right now, this moment, now that you're listening to this, you get to decide whether the shit that happens to you gets to keep writing your story or whether you're gonna take the pen back and write your own story. Take the fucking pen back. I've talked to several people on Listen, Bitch, Tell Me Why You're Special. I love this show because I'm collecting stories, and let me think of one that would be really good. There's this lady, every reason to be bitter. She had every reason to be bitter for her whole life. Lost everything in a situation that was entirely someone else's doing. Okay. The kind of story, that if she told you at a dinner party, everybody at the table would nod and say, "Of course you're still struggling. Of course you haven't recovered. Of course this defines you." I mean, she tells me the story and I'm like, "Holy shit, girl. Like, I get it. If you just want to curl up in a ball, I'm listening to this. I didn't experience it and it's killing me." She said the turning point wasn't a moment of healing. It was a moment of anger that finally got pointed in a useful direction. She said she got so tired of giving the person who hurt her that free rent in her head. Tired of every conversation eventually circling back to what was done to her. Tired of being known, even to herself, primarily as someone something terrible had happened to. And the craziest part, you guys, is that after she has this decision, she lost two more close family members, but she stayed in this message. She stayed in this decision that she's repeated to herself ever since. The event does not get to be the most interesting thing about me anymore. What I do with it next, what I build next, that's what matters. And she rebuilt everything for the second time in her life, even as a single mom. Not because the original loss didn't matter, but because she refused to let it be the only chapter that anyone, including herself, could ever read. And every event after that, like losing her family, same question. There is deep pain. You can tell. Like, she loved her brothers. Both of their deaths were horrific. And she knew staying there affects everybody, including her children. And what is the legacy she wants to leave? Where can that pain launch her? She says, "God, how can I learn from this? Who can I be? What can I create?" And she has built an incredible coaching empire on this. You guys, if you know someone who's been telling the same story about what was done to them, please send them to this episode. Not to shame them, but maybe because someone telling them the truth in love is exactly what will help break this open. Everybody deserves that chance. Okay, so share it out really fast. There's a man in John chapter 5 who'd been sick for 38 years. He's lying by a pool that was said to have healing properties whenever the water stirred. Jesus walked up to him and asked one question: "Do you want to be made well?" I'll say that again. Jesus did not ask him what happened. He did not ask him to recount the 38 years. He did not validate the the unfairness of nobody helping him in the water in time over and over for almost 4 decades. He simply asked him if he wanted to be well. And the man's answer is the most honest thing in the whole story. He did not say yes. He just explained why he could not get well. "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, and while I am coming, another steps down before me." 38 years of explaining why it was not his fault. 38 years of a real, legitimate, understandable reason. And Jesus did not argue with the reason. He did not debate whether it was fair. He said, "Get up, take your bed, walk." And the man did. And I think about this story a lot because I think most of us are still lying by the pool, explaining our version of, "I have no one to help me into the water." And the reason that it's usually real. The unfairness is usually legitimate, and Jesus is still asking the same question: "Do you want to be made well?" Not, "Do you have a good explanation for why you're not well yet?" Do you want to be made well? And this is something I think is important to be asking your friends and family as well. When someone's opening up and you've heard their story for the 100th time and you're watching them just suffer in their misery and you're fucking tired of the victim mentality, simple question. Do you want to get well? And then it is their choice. It's their choice. A friend of the family was in the hospital a couple of weeks ago. And the truth is, it's a lot of years of not taking care of herself and a lot of years of being in the hands of Big Pharma with a lot of drugs and a lot of things. And I went to see her several times. And the last time I was there, I'm like, this is up to you. Wait for the doctors to save you because no one's going to be living your life when you're not in the hospital anymore. This is genuinely your decision. And I told her entire family, she has to choose if she wants to get well or not. It's that fucking simple. Is that it is a choice for her. She has to choose. You don't bear the weight of her consequence. Like, you cannot carry this personally because you cannot do it for her. And I did what I could to release them because I'm watching her and I just felt like she is not, she doesn't want to choose the right thing. She liked the victim mentality. She liked the attention and she's frantic without, all of the medical interventions. And unfortunately, there was a point where she got to go home and it didn't last. I just got news that she's back in the hospital and it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because once you get so far into your victim mentality, I think sometimes you don't get any chance to come back out. And you guys, this is about radical responsibility. Radical responsibility. It doesn't look like pretending shit doesn't happen or didn't happen to us, okay? Responsibility doesn't look like forcing forgiveness when you're not ready or skipping the grief that real loss deserves. Responsibility is not the absence of feeling. It is what you do after you felt it. Responsibility, it looks like catching yourself mid-story. The moment you hear yourself explaining again why the old thing's the reason the new thing's not happening, responsibility looks like pausing, noticing the trail your feet are walking, and asking the better questions. Not what happened to me. What the fuck am I going to do next? What am I going to do now? That simple little thing of like, why is this happening to me? How is this happening for me? How is this happening for me? What can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? God, what are you stretching in me? What are you molding in me? Where do I go next? Responsibility looks like separating the event from the identity. You went through some hard shit. That's fucking true, right? Yay. You're also capable, resourced, and fucking equipped to build something extraordinary on the other side of that shit. Both of those things are fucking true in the same sentence. The hard shit does not cancel out the capability. Responsibility looks like refusing the free rent. Okay? And you guys, I just can't even, I'm sometimes shocked when I find out I live rent-free in the heads of people I don't even know. There is a genuine shock of like, I don't understand the stories that people have created and where they've run with it. It's that thing, like you hear gossip about yourself, and I'm like, wait, I want to hear more. This didn't really happen, but I'm curious about how it ends, right? Every time you give the person or the circumstance that hurt you another day of staring in your internal monologue, you're paying them with your present life for something that already happened in the past. Why would you give them that? Not anymore. And I mean, there's a lot of people out there in the world right now that are letting high profile figures live rent free in their heads, and it boggles my fucking mind. I think, holy shit, get off the internet, turn off the news, read the fucking Bible, and lift some fucking weights. Like, just do those things and unplug because how? How are we gonna let people that will never know our names, people that will never have anything to do with what kind of parent you are, who you are, your integrity, your morals, your values, how you communicate with people, how you interact with the world, no effect on us whatsoever. And these people let them live rent free. Even me, I'm a fucking nobody, bitch. And I'm telling you, I literally live in the heads of people that I don't know, that I met maybe a handful of times over a decade ago. I don't know these people, and they've created a story. Responsibility looks like actually building shit instead of just explaining yourself away. The explaining feels productive. It's not. It's a very sophisticated way of staying in the same place while feeling like you're doing something. The building is uncomfortable and slow and does not get the same sympathy from people around you. The building is also the only thing that actually will change your fucking life. And it looks like asking God the same question he asked the man by the pool. Do you want to be made well? Answer honestly and then get the fuck up and walk. Right? Today, listen, bitch. I want you to name the story. I had a coach ask, tell me one time, like, tell me the most hurtful event in your life. Tell me that story. And it wasn't the essay, okay? It wasn't, there's a lot of things it wasn't. It was the story of my mom signing her rights off in front of me, and add on top of that the fact she doesn't remember doing it, okay? I named that story. And I mean, when I'm telling her the story, it's been 30 years. I'm telling her the story. Or maybe it was more than 30 years. I don't know. 10 years ago, I'd be 36. Yeah, I was like, tw whatever, bitch. I'm bawling. I can't even keep it together. And it happened so long ago. My brain took me to that experience. I've told it so many times. It's been the thing. It was kind of like that, you know, you guys, come on, man. I'm fucking everything up, but like, remember my mom signed her rights off of me. Now I flipped the script. I named the story. It was so hard for me. How could I tell that differently? If her choice had been any different, stuff in my life wouldn't be the same. And I'm going to tell you guys something. I've worked so hard to really like who I am. I have worked so hard to love myself. I have a beautiful family. I just posted my kids on social media and they're so, I just am in awe. You guys, I took that picture the other day. And of course, I've taken pictures of my kids a lot, but like there was just something about it hitting me that day of how incredibly blessed I am. I thank God to this day my mom signed her rights off. I could rewrite the most painful story in my life by saying, if that never happened, I wouldn't have all the things I had now. I wouldn't be who I am. My own daughter. Okay, you guys know we kind of went through a rough period. My oldest daughter, I'm on the phone with her the other night and she's like, you know, I brought her through some trauma. You guys, I was a 22-year-old mom, had no fucking clue. We didn't have access to the internet to be able to self-diagnose, right? I was an independent, barely surviving. I was surviving, and there was a point in her life we had a couple of really, really rough years, and that's her trauma. And she said it. She's like, Mom, I'm glad this stuff happened because I am who I am. And she's just incredibly, I just am in awe of her. I mean, I'm in awe of her. I broke her heart and she rebuilt from that. And I think that's amazing. And it's the same thing for you. Whatever that story is, you retell the story and find the gratitude. You would not be who you are had that not happened. Find the part of you that you really like. Name the story. Rewrite it. Rewrite the explanation that you're reaching for when someone asks you why you haven't. Why haven't you started the podcast? Why haven't you written the book? Why haven't you started the fucking business? Whatever you want to tell me right now, write that down. Look at it. Notice how many times you have said it out loud and how worn the trail in your brain is. Then I want you to write the new question right next to it. Not what happened to me. What am I going to do now? What do I do next? What's the next right thing? And put it somewhere you're going to see it all the time. Bathroom mirror, lock screen on your phone, somewhere your eyes are going to land every fucking day. Then I want you to do one thing today that the old story would have told you was impossible. Which I'm not talking about the whole rebuild. I'm talking about grab that one brick. Okay? Just take that one brick that was thrown at you and put it in the foundation. Take one action that the victim story said you could not take because of what happened. Take it anyway. Let your nervous system get the data that the new trail is walkable. Like you're going to do it, you'll realize you're not going to die, and hell yeah. Because we're all about being better than, better today than yesterday and better tomorrow than today. That's our whole life assignment. And I get it. Babe, you're still trying to fight me with this excuse, and I'm going to tell you what happened to you was real. Nobody can ever take that from you. Nobody ever should. Nobody ever really could. What I am taking away from you today, right now in this episode, is the permission to keep using it as the reason that your life stayed the fucking same. That permission expired the moment you continued to listen to me. You are not the worst thing that happened to you. You are not the years you spent explaining it. You are the person standing right now with the exact same question Jesus asked the man by the pool sitting in front of you. Do you want to be made well? You know what I believe? I believe you do. I believe that's why you're here. I believe that's why you're listening to this. You could be anywhere else. You could be doing anything else, and you're here. Something in you is done lying by the pool. Something in you is ready to take the pen back to write your fucking story. Babe, we made a deal with God when we chose this. We knew the hard shit was coming, but we also knew we could remember who the fuck we are in Christ when it arrived. And that remembering is available to you right now, not someday, but today. And I would love this. You guys, check out my website. Come work with me. Check the show notes. Tell me the story you've been telling. Tell me what you're ready to build instead. Better today than yesterday. Better tomorrow than today. That's the whole assignment. So get the fuck up, take up your bed, and walk. I love you guys.